Well, we're going to turn for a few minutes to the Torah portion, which is really an amazing story about a mad prophet and an innocent talking donkey. And it reminds me of Shrek. You know, how many of you saw one of the Shreks? Shrek 1, Shrek 2, Shrek 3? I haven't seen Shrek 3. I usually see that kind of movie when I'm on an airplane. I don't know why. I want to watch them with my grandchildren, but every time I propose we watch a movie like that, they've already seen it 12 times, and it's not time to see it once more. But Shrek has a good friend. Do you remember that good friend's name? Donkey. It's a simple name. Donkey. And who is the voice of Donkey? Eddie Murphy. That's right. It's a great series, don't you think? I just like it so much. And it has this great talking donkey in it. As I understand, the movie was produced by Steven Spielberg. So we learned something, that Mr. Spielberg gets some of his creative ideas from things in the Bible. Because in the Bible, there are, as I know, only two cases of talking animals. The first one is what? A snake or a serpent. And the second one is Shrek's friend. Now, this is not the donkey in Shrek. This is another donkey. And we could name him if you'd like. We can call him Donkey. It's a good name for a donkey, don't you think? Okay, so as far as I know, the donkey wasn't given a name, but he was an important donkey. And open up your Bibles for just a minute to what we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Actually, verse 16. It says of Balaam that he was rebuked because of his iniquity, and a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice. Now, when it says dumb, do you know what it means? Stupid? No. Dumb is an old word that means someone who can't speak. So a donkey that can't speak spoke with a man's voice in order to restrain the madness of the prophet. This was a crazy prophet. He wasn't really walking with the Lord. He had some experiences with the Lord, but the Lord wanted to set him straight, and he used a donkey to do it. Some people have debated about whether this donkey actually spoke. But as we're reading here, Peter understood, as did those in his time, that the donkey spoke with a man's voice. So you can see why it's useful to read the Bible if you're going to be in the movies. Because you get ideas that you would never have. So this is the story of Balaam. Now, many people would say that name differently in Hebrew. In English. How would you say it in English? Balaam? Isn't that a really common way of saying it? Yeah, it's just not the Hebrew way of saying it. Balaam. Say the name with me. Balaam. Now, this story about Balaam is found in Numbers 22, which is from our Torah portion. And it tells us that he was a prophet and a soothsayer, sort of like a wizard. And he had some kind of supernatural power so that when he spoke things, they often came to pass. And there was a king. His name was Balak. It sounds like Balaam, but it's a completely different name, Balak. And he was the king of the Moabites. He was afraid because Israel was coming near. And he decided he was going to go to war against Israel. Now, if you remember the stories from previous readings in the last few weeks, Israel had a desire to go through the land of Moab and through the land of Edom to take a shortcut and a direct way to get to the land of Canaan. Now, this is around the 38th year of their journey through the desert. This is not at the beginning. This is near the end of the journey. And they've come close, and they ask permission in order to come near. And you know what? They refused. This was very discouraging because they had to make a longer route. It was more dangerous, and it meant that they didn't have access to water. So the Moabites decided that the children of Israel were too dangerous, and they were going to go to war against them. Israel just wanted to pass peacefully through, but the Moabites decided we're going to go to war. So Balak decided he did not have enough military power to have a victory over them, and he needed a way to weaken Israel. So in verse 6 of chapter 22 of Numbers, Balak explains to Balaam why he needs him. He says, "Curse this people for me because they're too mighty for me. Perhaps I'll be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land because I know that whoever you bless is blessed and whoever you curse is cursed." Now, it's interesting because there was another man in the Bible who was told that if anyone blesses him, they will be blessed. Who was that man? Abraham. And God said to Abraham, "Whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse." Well, this is different than what it said about Balaam. It says Balaam has the power to bless and to curse. So something strange is going on here. And they want to use, the Moabites and the king Balak, want to use Balaam to curse Israel so that Israel will be so weak that when Moab goes to war, they'll be able to defeat them. That's the plan. Well, they offer him a lot of money, and he decides to do it. But in verse 9, we see that God comes to Balaam and says, "Who are these men with you?" Now, that's a serious question. If you're traveling with the wrong group of people, and God wants to know who they are, you might want to reconsider who your friends are and who you keep company with. Sometimes you can discover a lot just by the questions God asks you. Who are these guys? You could compare it to this. Imagine, you know, adults, you've seen some of these Godfather movies. You know what I'm talking about? And if one of the top guys points to your companions when you're meeting with him and says, "Who are they?" You know you brought the wrong guys to the meeting. Right? Well, Balaam brought the wrong guys. He was going with the wrong crowd. And Balaam says to God that he was hired to come and to curse Israel. In verse 12, God says to Balaam, "You'll not go with them, and you shall not curse the people because they're blessed." Now, there are two points that God makes here. What's the first point? Don't go. What's the second point? You shall not curse. Two points. Now, kids, let me talk to you for just a minute. Sometimes your parents are going to give you instructions, and they're going to tell you to do two things. You know what I mean? They'll say, "Do these two things. I want you to make your bed and put away your clothes. And maybe you'll do one of them." And you know what your parents will do? Kids, what will the parents do? You think they'll forget the other one? Moms, dads, how good is your memory? Pretty good, right? And so you say to the children, "Did you do what I told you?" "Yes, I did," they'll say to you. "What did you do?" "I made my bed." "And that's all?" "Yes." And then the parents will say, "Go do the other thing I told you to do. Go put away your clothes. Go clean up your closet. Go do this and that." You see, good parents remember the things they tell you to do, and children learn to do the full measure of what they're told to do. So we could say this about Balaam. He wasn't being a good boy today because God told him two things, and look at verse 13. In the morning, he got up and he spoke to the princes of Balak and he says, "Go back to your land because the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." Now, that's only one thing that the Lord said. What's the other thing he said? Don't curse them because I'm blessing them. And you know what? The people of Moab weren't happy with that, and they decided to offer more money in order to convince Balaam that he should do it, that he should curse Israel. More honor and more money. And Balaam says, even if you were to give me a house full of silver and gold, I couldn't go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more. Now, this can be confusing to people because doesn't it sound like he wants to be obedient to God? It sounds that way, but it's not really true. Because what we're hearing are the words of a man who's not dedicated to God. He knows God exists. He knows even his name, so he knows he's the God of Israel. He even has heard from God what position he should take regarding Israel. But how do we know that he really doesn't have intimacy with God? It's because he doesn't want to do what God wants. It's not in his heart to do it. So the men, they're offering more money, and he goes with them. It makes the Lord angry. Though the Lord lets him go, it still makes the Lord angry. And finally, the Lord sends the angel of the Lord. And usually where it says the angel of the Lord is talking about Yeshua. So the angel of the Lord finds Balaam riding on his donkey. This is in verse 22. He was riding on his donkey. His two servants were with him, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And what did the donkey do? The donkey turned aside out of the way, and he went into the field. Okay, let's get the picture. Balaam's riding on a donkey. Balaam doesn't see the angel of the Lord, but donkey does. Donkey sees. And donkey decides, I'm not going to go against the angel of the Lord. So he moves off of the path. And then, verse 24, the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards. So now the angel of the Lord moves because the donkey's moved off the road. And with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall. And she crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and so he hit her again. Then the angel of the Lord went even further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she just lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was really aroused, and he hit the donkey with his staff, with his rod. Do you get the picture? Okay, now, who has vision of the angel of the Lord in this moment? Donkey. Donkey sees. Right? And who doesn't see? Balaam. The man doesn't see what the donkey sees. It's so interesting, isn't it? That sometimes a donkey could perceive what a man cannot. Now, verse 28, the story gets even more interesting. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Now, what does that mean, open the mouth of the donkey? It means that the donkey was given the power of speech. Remember what we read in 2 Peter? That donkey spoke, a dumb donkey spoke with the voice of a man. And she said to Balaam, I don't even know what the donkey voice is. You know, every donkey can say hee-haw and things like that. But this donkey says, what have I done to you that you've struck me three times? Now, what's interesting is that this doesn't shock Balaam. And remember what's going on. Balaam's, as I understand, he broke his foot. And now the donkey just sat down and Balaam's got his feet, you know, around her. He's sort of trapped around that donkey, and the donkey's talking. And if a donkey started talking to you, or if your dog or your cat started talking to you, either you would be crazy, or something interesting is happening. In this situation, something very interesting is happening. The donkey is having a conversation with Balaam. And Balaam responds to the donkey. Balaam doesn't say, I didn't know you could talk. And he doesn't say, since when did you learn to talk? He just responds to the donkey. And, you know, the donkey wants to know, why have you hit me three times? And the donkey, Balaam says, well, because you've hurt me. Man, this sounds like they're brothers and sisters, not a master and a donkey. Because how many times do kids hit each other, and when the parents intervene and say, why did you hit her? What's the most common answer? She hit me first. So donkey is saying, why'd you hit me? And he said, because you hurt me. It is funny. This story is written, I want you to know, in the Bible to be a funny story. And if you got to understand that. Even though it's true, it's funny. And the Lord wants us to understand sometimes very serious things are happening, and he's taking them seriously, but he's also laughing at them. Why do the nations rage and they plot vain things? And it says the Lord laughs in derision at them. He laughs at them because they think they're so powerful. So Balaam says, because you hurt me, I wish there was a sword in my hand because I would kill you right now. Now what the donkey knows is there is a sword in the hand of the angel of the Lord. And so the donkey says to Balaam, I love how reasonable this donkey is and how clear he is as a thinker. You know, it's not just a miracle that the donkey can speak. It's also a miracle that the donkey is intelligent at this moment. This is a donkey that has, like, clear thinking ideas. It makes you just want to fellowship with donkeys. And so the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours until this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? Is this my habit that I just bump into things and hurt you and fall down and make you angry with me? Is that the way I normally act? And Balaam says, no. And at that moment, verse 31, the Lord opens Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and he fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord now speaks to him. First the donkey, now the angel of the Lord. And look at what the first question is that the angel of the Lord asks. Why have you hit your donkey three times? First donkey asks this, now the angel of the Lord asks this. You know what? You learn a lot about a person by how they treat animals and how they treat those who are weak and without, you know, much power to defend themselves. And the Lord is paying attention. Why have you hit your donkey three times? Look, I've come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I also would have killed you by now and let her live. You see, in every case, the donkey was innocent. But the Lord said, if that donkey had not turned away when you'd gotten near me, I would have just killed you. So Balaam had really made God so mad that the Lord was willing to take his life. And what was Balaam wanting to do? Balaam was wanting to curse the Jewish people. That was his purpose. He wanted Israel to stumble. And in the weeks to come, we're going to hear more about this. And some of you might say, I don't see why a story about a donkey and the story about a false prophet is so important. But I want to ask you to read this passage and read it again carefully. And I'm going to give to you right now a number of other places in the Bible that refer to this. And you're going to see something I think that's really important. You're going to see that this story shows up again and again in the Bible. Well, in Numbers 31:16, we'll see it again, so we'll read about that together in the next few weeks. And then in, I'm not going to give you all of the places. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 4, I'm giving you, you know, one verse you might need to read after and a little bit before to get the picture. We read today from Micah chapter 6, verse 5. And around that, it tells us about Balaam. And we read also today from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, which also refers to Balaam. But you'll find Balaam in Psalm 106, verse 28. You'll find him in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. You'll find him in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. In Joshua, are you up with me? You're writing this down? Chapter 13, verse 22. In Joshua 24, 10. Nehemiah 13, 2. And did I mention Jude 1:11? See how many places there are? This is not all the places. It's just different places that are referring to this. In other words, not only in the Torah, but in the prophets, in the writings, we are seeing this. And not only in the Tanakh, but throughout the New Covenant writings. We've got these several different places in the apostolic writings where the story of Balaam is referred to. Now, whenever the Bible takes a story and it spreads it out like that and uses it again and again, it means one thing. It means the story is important. And when it refers to details, it means that you should already know the details. How many of you know about George Washington and the cherry tree? Raise your hand. What's the story? Okay, the end of it is it's hard to tell a lie. What did George Washington do in this story? He chopped down the cherry tree. Was this a good thing to do? No. And who found out? His dad. And what did his dad ask him? Did you chop it down? And what did he say? Yes, I cannot tell a lie. Right? That's the story. Now, you knew these details, right? How many of you knew how the name of Shrek's good friend? Donkey. Right? You knew this. And there are many details of stories that you know. The details of the story of Balaam, Balak, the donkey, and all that happened through Balaam, these are important details for you to learn. Now, I can read them to you. I can tell them to you. If we had hours, I would do it. I would just go through it because these are important details. But at the very least, you should set a goal for yourself that you would know the details. And so that when you're reading in other places in the Bible and you see the story of Balaam and a reference to it, you would know the whole story inside out. And you wouldn't say, oh, you know, that's just a stupid children's story. Or, I don't think it's important. You see, it's in the Bible. It's so many different places in the Bible. It means it's an important event. And why do we stop and we pay attention to stories like this? Because they're in the Bible, they are given for instruction for you and for me. It may not be obvious. There may be some parts that aren't clear. There may be some parts that are funny and seem no more important than the movie Shrek. But this is actually a very important story. And the more you read it and the more you learn about it and the more you read all the passages I was talking about, you'll begin to see just how important it is. And you'll begin to understand how necessary it is to get your heart right with God. Balaam had power. He had a fascinating experience with the talking donkey. But what was wrong with Balaam? He didn't have his heart connected to God. And so what God was saying was important was not important to Balaam. Balaam wanted money. He wanted power. He wanted to be famous. He is famous. He had power. He didn't get the money, and he got killed. When you read the stories of Balaam, what you find out is he was going to kill his donkey, but you know what? He died instead. but he also did terrible things to the Jewish people. He couldn't curse them with words, but he found other ways to curse the Jewish people, which we'll read about in this at the end of this passage if you haven't read it already. Today we won't read it, but this coming week, please read it. The story is found, the end of the story is found in chapter 25, how Moab, the women of Moab, brought the children of Israel down low because of Balaam. So you might have been reading something in your Bible and said, I don't think it's important. And then whenever you would come to it in another place in the Bible, you know what you would say also? I guess that's not important. And then the next time you come, you'd say, well, I guess that's not important. And then to the next one, you'd say, I guess that's not important. You know what happens? You start skipping more and more of the Bible. Pretty soon, there are only three or four verses you think are important. And then you miss everything else. So I encourage you, learn your Torah, learn the stories here. They are given very carefully, and especially those that are given lots of pages, they have a lot of importance, even if the story is not obvious to you. And learn to study your Bible and to see other places that refer to the things that you're reading about. If you do that, you know what? You're going to grow strong in God. You're going to grow strong in the Word. Because you've drawn me close, because you've purchased me with the life of your own Son. And also, thank you, Lord, because you forgive me of my sins, of my transgressions, and all of my iniquity. So it's an important time for us, and I want to ask a couple of people to come up here. Let me see where my notes are. It's so funny, I have a list of like a dozen people, all of whom were here last night. And none of them are here. I'm going to ask the Allens to come up here tonight and to serve us, this morning, rather, and to serve us. So there are three of you. Why don't all three of you come up? Is that all right? Good. Let me take a piece myself. You want to take? That's right. It's so okay. No, you. That's right. It's my fault. Here, you can take one of those. Okay. So, wow. Look at this. So, everybody, come on up here. If you confess, because it's in your heart that Yeshua is Adonai, that He's the Lord, then you have a right to participate in this. And take a piece of matzah. Take a cup. Form two lines. Or sort of weave your way in and out. Work both sides of the line. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And wait to eat and drink until we all have this together. Parents, you can decide if your children are ready for this. You know their hearts. Whenever we take the covenant meal of Messiah, we're saying to the Lord, you have purchased me, and I belong to you. And you have a right, Lord, to command me. You have a right to expect the best from me, and I want to give you my very best. And Lord, you know that I fall short, and there are things that I have done and not done that were because of disobedience to you. And Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to be obedient to you. And please forgive me, Lord, of my sins. And let me have a pure heart before you. That's how we're praying. That's what we're saying to the Lord. Every time we eat this matzah, we're supposed to remember that Yeshua gave up his body as a sacrifice for us. And every time we drink this cup, we're to remember that life is found in the blood, and Yeshua's life was given for us, and His blood became a sacrifice for us. And we're saying, Lord, You have provided for us what we can't provide for ourselves, and we are grateful to You. Pick a good piece. You know, this is so funny. I didn't realize the piece I'd picked. I was looking at it like this. But for some reason, I always prefer a corner piece that's burned, you know, on both sides. And I didn't realize I had gotten that. I thought I picked up a piece that looked like that. And I was about to tell you that usually I do this and I don't know how. And then I looked and wouldn't you know it? Isn't that interesting? And it's just a silly desire I have, a little preference. I don't know why, but it works in me. Let's lift up our matzah to the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Lord, we thank You that You bring forth bread from the earth and You brought forth Yeshua from the earth too. He came down from heaven. He lived among us, Your Son, Lord. Our Lord, and He gave His life up as a sacrifice for us. And though He died, He rose from the dead. And we, Lord, are thanking You for resurrection life. Amen. Let's lift up our cups. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam b'rei pri hagafen. Blessed are You, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Thank You, Lord, because we are drawing our life from You. We are just branches in Your vine. And thank You for the blood of the new covenant, which has been poured out for us. Amen. You can pass your cups into the center, and the ushers will come, and they will collect your cups as well. We will close with Aaron's blessing. Would you gather together with family and friends? Remember about fasting and praying on Monday and holding me up during the week as I'm at Messiah Conference. Gather together so no one's standing alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'era Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.